Good morning. Nice to see everyone here this morning. The other night we were out to hear some people sing. There was a lady singing with a beautiful voice. She was singing, "How Great Thou Art." I don't believe she was saved, but she said it was a song that she was drawn to, "How Great Thou Art." Well, I was raised on a farm, and I used to love to sing to the cows, and that was one of the songs I used to sing, "How Great Thou Art." I wasn't saved either. I wasn't saved, but it was a song that I enjoyed, the words, "How Great Thou Art." I wonder, is everyone here this morning saved? Does everyone here this morning have eternal life? You all have physical life. I can see that. You're all alive. But do you have eternal life? Do you know eternal life is a life that comes from God, only from God? God's kind of life. And you can't get into heaven unless you have eternal life. Let me give you an illustration. You took a horse, you put him in water. Can a horse live in water, live under the water? Most of us would say no, wouldn't we? Or we should. Do you know why a horse can't live in water and underwater? Because he doesn't have the right kind of life. He's not a fish. You can't live in God's heaven unless you have eternal life. Do you know how you get eternal life? Only through God's Son, Jesus Christ. And God will give you eternal life the moment He knows that you really mean that you want to be saved. Eternal life is the only way you can get into God's heaven through Jesus Christ. The only way you get eternal life is being saved, is to have your sins forgiven and to be given eternal life by God. That's why sinners, which we all are, born in sin, would never be happy in heaven. Why? Because we do not have eternal life normally, unless it's given to us. Let us read in John chapter 3, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And we're going to look at this morning, eternal life is from God, yes. See, people today in this world, and probably even in this auditorium, we think that our church, our baptism, our works, our religion, and possibly even our faith will get us into heaven. The trouble is, what is our faith in? What is our faith in? Our faith must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word faith, the word believe, and in the Old Testament, the word trust, all the same root word. If you go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Believe in the Lord with all your heart. Have faith in the Lord with all your heart. F-A-I-T-H, I used it before, forgetting all, I trust Him. I trust Him, no one else. And I ask you, every one of us here this morning, are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? And do you have eternal life? Do you have that life that will get you into God's heaven? Or do you just have physical life? Because eternal life is a spiritual life. And that's why if you went to John's Gospel, and I was going to look at it, the three musts in chapter 3, you must be born again. That is the must for the sinner. Then we see in verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That is the must of the Savior. And the latter part of that chapter, we see another must, the must for the saint. He must increase, I must decrease. That is surrender. So the first one is, three musts. You must be born again. That is a must for a sinner. He must be saved. There must be salvation. The must of the Savior must be sacrificed. And the must of the saint, he must surrender to the Lord. Give himself over to the Lord. Let the Lord take control of his life. But we're looking at a little word today, or I shouldn't say a little word, a fairly large word. It says, whosoever. Whosoever. It's mentioned quite a number of times in the Word of God. We're going to look at it two specific places. First of all, in John chapter 3, whosoever believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ shall have eternal life. That is the whosoever of salvation. And then there's one more in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. Listen to what it says. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's why I said about eternal life. And so many of us, we get lulled into, we come to church day in, or week in and week out, and we become church people. We're churchy. And somehow or other, we're lulled into into a fact that we somehow are going to get into God's heaven. Because my parents are Christians. My friends are Christians. I go to the Bible chapel every Sunday. I sit in a pew. I sing praises. I read the Bible, even read it on a daily basis. But do you have eternal life? You have a life given to you from God. Because that is the life that you need to get into God's heaven. Like the horse in water, you cannot live there. You cannot be there unless you have eternal life. And eternal life is God's kind of life, and only God can give it to you. It is God's kind of life, and you can't get into heaven without it. It comes from God through Christ alone. And the moment you are saved, you are forgiven of your sins, and you are given eternal life. Any verses in the Bible? What about Romans chapter 6 and verse 23? For the wages of sin is death. We all know what wages are. We work, we get paid for what we do. For the wages of sin is death. Every single one of us born in sin, we have a death sentence hanging over us. The word death in the Bible means separation. And if you're not saved this morning, you're separated from God. You do not have eternal life. And you will be like in Revelation chapter 20. Your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. You will be cast in the lake of fire. That is the second death. That's after spending time in hell first. That is when you will be, it says death and hell will be raised and stand before the great white judgment throne. You know what? Your mouth will be closed. And you hear these words, depart from me. I never knew you. You never knew me. No one will say, oh, but I didn't understand. Oh, but no excuses. And that is for all eternity. That's for all eternity. And so many of us are lulled into almost like a sleep. And we come to the place where, I must be saved. Somebody told me that I'm saved. I feel like I'm saved. I went forward. I signed my name somewheres. But you do not have eternal life. You do not have a life from God. And your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. And someday you will stand at the great white judgment throne. And that is serious business. And I believe this morning, even in this place where gospel goes forth, the Word of God is taught, that there's people even this morning sitting here that won't be in heaven because they don't have eternal life, even this morning. And all I'm asking you is to take stock of your life and to make sure before you leave or before the day's out that you know for sure that you have eternal life. And how do I do that? You come before the Lord and you say, Lord, I want to know. I want to know. and I want to be saved. See, a lot of us, we love to be saved. We love to be in heaven. And we look at that little verse, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that was a story in Numbers 21. When there's a whole bunch of people were bitten by serpents because they had, as it were, rebelled against the Lord and against his servant Moses. He allowed serpents to bite them, and then Moses cried unto him, and he said, Lord, please provide a remedy for these people. And the Lord said, Moses, put a brass serpent on a pole and lift it up, and those who would look and believe would be saved. See, a lot of us, we won't believe. We don't believe or look until we're in big-time trouble. A person will only look and believe when he knows or he realizes he is perishing. And we're going to see those words in some of the very most familiar verses in the Bible. Perishing. Let us read in verse 15. Let's start in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to be lifted up on a cross, and those who would look and believe on him would be saved. Goes on to say this, and you'll see this little statement twice in two verses, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, there's that word, eternal life. Look at verse 16. For God so loved. God just didn't love the world. He so loved it. He loved it so much that what? He loved the world, cosmos in Greek. In the Greek word for world is cosmos. It means a society without God. Politically, socially, everything. A society without God. God so loved a society without God that what happened? That he gave his only begotten son is a unique son, only one of a kind, his only son who never sinned, he gave him to die for the society without God. That's how much he loved you, and he loved me. That whosoever, there's that little word, whosoever. What does the word whosoever mean? It means without exception. Without exception, it means all, it means any, it means anybody. Who will, anybody who will, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what whosoever means. Anyone. That whosoever believeth in him, that is Jesus Christ, should not perish. There's that word again, perish. And we got people today that believe, well, Jesus Christ died on the cross, so universal salvation, everybody's going to heaven. Is that what those verses say? You don't have to be too smart to know that there's two different groups of people there, those who believe and those who will perish. And the people who perish are those who do not believe in God's only Son. We read this morning what man did to the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, how they spit on him, how they beat him, how they nailed him to a cross, and this was a man who was absolutely perfect. He absolutely did nothing. No one could find fault in him, yet they nailed him to a cross. Why did they do that? Would you do that to a perfect person? Do you know what? As sinners, we hate perfection. We hate people who are perfect or close to it. We don't like it. Why? Because our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And you know your heart. And you know what your heart is? Your mind, I mentioned it before. Our minds, which our motives, our intents, our actions, all come from our mind. Part of the heart. What about our will? Part of the heart. And all of us have a will. And my friend, don't step on somebody's toe if their will isn't wanting to do the same thing as you. What about your emotions, your feelings towards God? Everybody has their opinion. Everybody has their emotions. Everybody has their feelings. That is part of your heart. When God says, my son, give me your heart, he means your mind, your will, and your emotions. And we have a heart, as the Bible says in Jeremiah, a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That is what needs to be changed in a person's life. Our hearts. Because it is the control center of a human being. It's a control center that leads you to do what you do and what you think and everything else. And how is your mind, even as Christians? I know what mine is like. Where does that come from? It comes from that old nature that is within us. And that's why we need to be cleansed daily by the Word of God. We need to have feet washing because we have a deceitful heart. And we need to be cleansed daily. We go back to the Word of God and we see whosoever, that is anyone who will come and believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Look at verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth, here it is again, he that believeth on Him, that is Jesus Christ, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. There again is two classes of people. Those who are going to perish, those who believe. Those who are not condemned, those who are condemned. What class are you in? But he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you notice in the New Testament it doesn't say believe about Jesus? It never says that. It's either believe on Him or believe in Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or believe in Him. That means to trust in the Lord with all your heart. That is to say, you know what? I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded, as Paul would say, that He will keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. We heard that this morning about trusting in the Lord. Leonard had a little word there about you and I who are saved. How we can trust Him. How we're under His wing. He's our rock. He's our solace. Our comfort. We see out there in the world today, we see the things that are happening and it boggles our minds. And sometimes even maybe Christians say, well, where is God? Well, God has a plan. A plan that will be fulfilled in His time. You and I have responsibilities. And sometimes we don't do very well at it. We think of the very words in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, and God does everything in the fullness of His time, even in your little life and my little life. He does everything according to His plan. He has a plan, He has a purpose for every person. He has a purpose and a plan for this world. And at the right time, the Lord Jesus Christ will come back. He will take His people out of this world. And then there will be 7 years of tribulation, approximately, and then He'll come back and He will judge His world. And my friend, if you're not saved when He comes the first time, as we call the rapture, and you heard the gospel and you said no to Him, you will not have a second chance. And you will stand at the great white judgment throne and you'll hear those words, depart from me, for I never knew you. Let's go on in verse 19. And this is the condemnation. This is why people are condemned. This is why you're under condemnation if you're not saved. And this is the condemnation that light is come into the world. Light speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks about revelation, knowledge. The Lord says, I am the light of the world. The light, when the light comes into the world, it exposes everything in a dark room. If this room was dark, like at night, you wouldn't be able to see dust on the floor and a lot of things going on. But the moment you turn on a light switch, you see everything that's in this room. It is exposed. And when the Lord Jesus Christ, as the light of the world, came into this world, He exposed mankind. He exposed their wickedness, their filthiness, and everything else. That's why they hated Him. That's what it says. And this is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their works were evil and still are today. And everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or discovered. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The moment you are saved, my friends, you know what? We are in total agreement with God. We want to have our lives, as it were, transparent before Him. And that's the way it should be. Because you know what? We try to fool God, don't we? As sinners. As a young person growing up, Is there ever something that you did or thought or something that your parents never ever found out, and they probably still never found out today, that you got away with? Some little evil thing or something you did? I think of probably a couple I did. And they never ever found out. And I bet you did too. And you know, somehow or other, we think that God is like that. There's something in our lives that He will never find out. He'll never know about. And we got away with it. You know what? He has books. He's a perfect accountant. And you know, when we go to Revelation chapter 20, it says, and the books were opened. And there was another book, the book of life. And God keeps everything that you do, I say, I think, everything. He's got it all marked down. Somehow or other, we think that God is just like a human being, and somehow or other, we're going to slip through fingers, we're going to be able to get away with things. You know what? God doesn't forget anything. He knows everything about you. Read Psalm 139. He knew you before you were born. He knew where you were going to be born. He's got the number, your hairs counted on your head. Over 7 billion people in the world today. He has the stars named, billions upon billions, each one of them named. This is a God, my friends. So often we think of a God like this, and our God is humongous, and He is enormous, and He's awesome, and He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. But why do we try to fool Him? Because our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And God says, you know what? Whosoever believeth on Him, if you will come to me, if you'll come to me. Do you know what it's mentioned 3 times in the Word of God? First, it's mentioned in Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. Listen to what it says. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered or saved. Do you know when it's mentioned again? Acts chapter 2 and verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know when it's named again or mentioned again? Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we saw in John chapter 3, whosoever shall believe in the name of the Lord Jesus. But that's not just good enough. It's call upon the name of the Lord. Have you ever called upon the name of the Lord in sincerity? Not just when you were in trouble. Because sometimes I believe a lot of people, we think that, you know what, salvation is just a one-time thing. It's just be saved for a day, and after that you just go on and do what you want. Oh yeah, I called on Him one day, one night. I was moved. I was emotionally felt like I needed help, and so I asked the Lord to save me. Is that salvation? Salvation is to come to the Lord and wanting to be saved for eternity. It's wanting to have your sins forgiven forever. It's wanting to live for Him forever. It's wanting to be with Him forever. We'll give you some more verses with whosoever in it. Look what we say in Romans chapter or Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 and 33. We're going to see the little word. We're going to see the word confess. What does the word confess mean? What's it mean? Confession means more than profession. And you know what? There's a whack of people who make professions. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Confession means more than profession. It means to stand with. Confess means to stand with. It means not only to stand with, it means to be in agreement with the person to whom reference is made. Are you in agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you stand, if somebody had a gun to your head, would you stand with them and say, I'm a Christian, Jesus Christ is my Savior? Will you do that? Will you do that even amongst your group today that you hang around with? People you work with? That's what confession is. Listen to what it says. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Whosoever, there's that little word again, whosoever, that is without exception, all who will, therefore shall confess me, that is the Lord Jesus, before men, him will I confess also before the Father, that is God, which is in heaven. But whosoever, listen to this, there's always two parts, isn't there? But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. So God knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows our motives. He knows our intentions. He knows our actions. He knows the moment that we truly believe him. When we come with a desire in our hearts and intentions to fully follow him, and we want to lean on him, we want him to be our Savior, our King, our Lord in our life. When we come that way, he will save us before we even get the words out of our mouth. But we must have an attitude that I need a Savior forever. I want to be saved. That's when you believe. And that's how we have to come to him when we call out to him. Not because today I was having a bad day, or I'm in financial difficulty, or whatever. Lord, would you save me? And then we feel that, well, he saved me, now I can go on and do what I want. See, there's no sense coming to the Lord like that, because he already knows what our attitude is, doesn't he? He knows what our motive is. He knows what our intention is. We must come with a desire, sincere seriousness, and say, Lord, I am a sinner just like you say I am. I am in full agreement with you. If you go to Amos, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is no. Not for an extended period of time, you can't. Because there'll be arguments and fighting and so on. Can two walk together? God wants you to walk with him like he did with Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you cannot walk with him unless you have a relationship that is through his Son, Jesus Christ. You must believe. You must call out to him. You must have that desire to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that we must call out to him. Let me go to another verse. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, we quote it so many times. If thou shalt confess, that is to be in agreement with him, or shall stand with him. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. When was the last time you did that in front of other people? And shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession. The word confess again. Is made unto salvation. When you can say, that's where again we talk about repentance. Repentance is to be in total agreement with God. It's to walk, we're walking this way on, as unsaved. I was for 31 years, and one moment when the Lord got a hold of me and convicted me, I turned around and said, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. I'm in total agreement with you. That's what repentance is. Change of mind. I'm now standing with you. I'm in total agreement with you. I want to live for you. That's what the word Christian means, a Christ one. I will put the shirt on. I'm on your team. I'm a soldier in your army. I am a Christian. Are you there? And the moment that we do that, God will give you eternal life. And then you have a ticket, as it were, into his heaven. You have his life that he has given to you through Jesus Christ, because you have put your faith and trust in his Son. Totally, he is first place in your life. Let me go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. We have a lot of people today say, I believe in God. But the moment you mention Jesus Christ, the old hair stands right up in the back of their neck. And the Bible says clearly in these verses, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you don't believe in God. And a lot of people, and if you don't believe in God, you don't believe in Jesus Christ. But you know what? You can't separate God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Cannot separate them. Cannot. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So there we go. Two of them go together. And yet we have a world today that people will say, I believe in God. Or what they mean is, I believe in a God. But the moment you say about Jesus Christ, did he die for your sins? My friends, you will see where they stand real quick. I told you a story about my grandmother. In her latter years before she passed on, my mother was bathing her in a tub and was speaking to her about God and so on. She said, "You believe in God?" "Oh, yes, I believe in God. Oh, he's wonderful. Wonderful." And then my mother said, "And do you believe in Jesus Christ?" And the moment she got those words out of her mouth, "Jesus Christ," she just stiffened right up in the tub. Right up in the tub. And that's why when you come to people's doors and you talk about Jesus Christ, it will bring out their ire. They get quite irate, don't they? It makes them mad. I was with Bob McGregor one day. We're over in Nova Scotia. We went to the door, and one fellow said, "If I hit him here, Jesus Christ, I'd punch him right in the side of the head." You could talk to him about God all day, but not about Jesus Christ. Anywhere else in the world, when people are mad or get upset, what do they use? You use Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter in what language. Why? Because it says in Romans that we are enemies of God. And we hate his son. And someday the man of sin will come into this world and he will be a God hater, a son hater, and he will hate Christians and they will put them to death. And Jesus Christ is someone that is hated. And that is why, as we read this morning, that is why man, they couldn't find fault in this man who was perfect, yet they crucified him. Why? They spit on him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They took a reed and they hit it upon his head. They drove nails into his hands and his feet, and they could not find one fault in him. We ask the question, why did God allow this scene to be in the Bible? Because that is not where the Lord Jesus Christ paid for your sins. You know what? God wanted to show you and I the hatred, the cruelty, the evilness, the wickedness of man's heart towards God. They crucified his son. But it was in three dark hours when God, after man was all finished doing what he was doing, showing his wickedness, then God took God the Son, and he judged them for your sins. Imagine judging one of the members of the Godhead. God the Son was judged for your sins. It says he was afflicted. He was bruised by God, not only by man, but by God. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, it says. And he sunk in a deep mire where there's no standing. He was judged for our sins. And this is a God that we're talking about that gave his son. For God so loved the world, society without God, without Christ, that he gave his only begotten, his unique, only one of a kind son to die for your sins. That whosoever, all, anyone, believeth on him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God will give you eternal life if you believe in the Son. We go to the last Revelation chapter 20. Let's turn over there quickly. Revelation chapter 20. And you know what? A lot of people make joke about going to hell. Oh, I know I'm going. All my friends are going there too. We're going to have a party. And no parties in hell. Not one party in hell. And if there was, I wouldn't want to be there to party with the people that are going to be there. This is speaking after the 1,000-year reign when people will be raised, the second death they call it, stand at the great white throne judgment. Look what it says in chapter 20. Look at verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I wonder who's sitting on the throne. Same one who died on the cross. Same one who says, "Whosoever believeth on him." And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Does God keep accounts? Yes, he does. He's got your account. He's got mine. Sad to say, he has mine too, yeah. I wouldn't want to have that screen manifest my life. And the books were open, and another book. Oh, another book. Another book was opened, which is a book of life. Remember we said about eternal life? God's life that is given to you the moment you're saved. He knows you're saved and you know you're saved. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Oh, according to their works or their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and the grave delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and the grave were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And here is the word whosoever in verse 15. This is a whosoever of damnation. Remember what we said the word whosoever means? It says without exception. It means any, all, as many as. As many as were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. Do you think that's going to change over time? Do you think God is going to change? Do you think that he will melt and get soft and somehow or other he might let you in because you denied his son, Jesus Christ? You didn't believe him. You didn't call on him. You didn't ask for forgiveness. You don't have eternal life, but somehow or other you think God is going to allow you into his heaven. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Word of God says. And I would only ask you, every single one of us, to go home and take stock of your own life and to make sure from the bottom of your hearts that you don't claim to be a Christian, profess to be a Christian because your parents are saved or because you come to this chapel every Sunday morning or because you read the Bible or you're part of the youth group or you sing in a choir or you take part in the Sunday school or whatever. You know the preacher or the elders or you read the Bible and someone has told you that you're saved. Don't ever take that as knowing for sure you're saved. You get down on your knees and you ask God, you come before the Lord. Because salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is between you, the individual, and him. And you need to know. And I need to know for sure that I'm saved because I believe there's going to be a whack of surprises in heaven. There's going to be people there that we never expected to be there. And there's going to be people that we expected to be there that will not be there. Where are they going to be? Because they never had eternal life. They never had it. And the Bible says God knows those that are his. I don't know, but God knows. And you make sure. You make sure that you have called upon the name of the Lord. You make sure that there was a moment in your life when you called upon him and you asked him for forgiveness and you said, Lord, I believe that you died for my sins. I want to be saved forever. I want to live for you. I want to be in your heaven. I want to have eternal life. Will you please save me today forever? I'm serious. And that's when God will deal with you in the right manner. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. John chapter 3 and verse 36 says this, he that believeth on the Son, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, hath everlasting life or eternal life. Same thing. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Those are not my words. Those are not my verses. Those are God's word. That's God's word. And those are his verses. All I did this morning was bring it before you. And you know what? You take it home. And you have to make the decision yourself. You make a choice. And you know what we say about the old hurt? The hurt is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I cannot see your hurt. I look on the outward appearance and I see a lot of lovely people. But God doesn't look just on the outside. He looks on the inside. He looks at your hurt. And God knows your hurt. He knows your hurt. He knows my heart. He knows if we have eternal life. He knows if we're ready to meet him. He knows if we're forgiven. He knows all about you. And we might need to keep that in mind. Let's close in a word of prayer. And then we're going to sing one verse of number 62. Close in a word of prayer, sing one verse of number 62. Our Father, we bow in thy presence. We thank thee, Father, for your holy word. We thank thee, Father, most of all for giving your Son. And Father, help us to understand in a way the tremendous cost for our salvation. Father, to think that you would give your Son, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, and made higher in the heavens, someone who came down in a body of flesh, someone, Father, who dwelt amongst us for over 33 years, someone, Father, who went to Calvary's cross willingly, knowing full well that he would bear the sin of many, of the whole world. He would be punished for the sin of all. And Father, all he asks us to do is that we're all, which is so hard to do. Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And Father, we just pray that the Spirit of God would speak to hearts, even this morning, to those who are in our midst. That Father, the Spirit of God would convict us of sin, of righteousness, and the judgment to come. That somewhere, somehow, someone would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, even this morning. And Father, would leave a different person, changed, not by me, not by anything else in here, but the Word of God and by the Lord himself. Whosoever cometh unto him, he will in no wise cast out. Father, we pray for your working this morning. Part us with thy blessings, we pray, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number 62, and the last verse only. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come to thee. You don't come to me. You don't have to come to the front. You don't come to the elders. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I can't see him. No, you can't. But you can believe the Word of God. And that's what God asks you. He doesn't ask you to behave. He asks you to believe what he says about you. And you know what? As we look at the world today and we see the events unfolding, we can understand that there is a God. We can understand that there is a plan in place, a purpose for you, and God knows everything about you. And someday your life, like mine and everyone else's, will come to an end here on this earth. And you know what? After time ends, eternity begins. You have that eternal life to be with the Lord? I pray we do. Number 62, verse 5, the meeting will be over.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise